I told you that you're recording. Right, hello everybody, and welcome to, this is now going to be season two of Spill the Tea with Jimmy C podcast, season two, episode one. So we've done 10 episodes in the first season. We've had lots of different people on, and we talked about lots of different shit going on, and now I've decided, we've had a little bit of a break. I did a review of the first season, and then we had a break last week because Spill the Tea HQ has been moving its headquarters to a new address. So basically, I've moved house. I haven't had the internet, and it's been a little bit crazy. But I found some time to record an episode for the upcoming podcast. So we're back, and we're on season two, and I've done 11 episodes where I thought this might be a two-hit wonder, and now I've done 11 episodes. So we're back. Now, on the podcast, and I am going to turn the camera off, because what we do, for those that don't know, there's a bit of podcast trickery going on. What we do is I record it on Zoom, because Zoom's amazing, and then I take the audio file and put it into podcast, because that's the way that we do stuff at the moment. But I'm doing tonight, or this evening, I'm doing the first live where I've got somebody else in the room, because we're allowed to do it in the room, and all that shit. This is I'm really excited about this, because what I've done before is I've done it where someone else has been on the end of a Zoom call and we've done it that way. But the way that things have changed in the world with the pandemic, we can now do stuff in the same room as such. So before I turn the camera off, because she said I don't want the camera on, before I turn the camera off, I'd like to introduce you to Rebecca, Becky, Bubbles, whatever you want to be called. Lesser sibling, shall we say, because I am the more older and more good looking and fun one. No, I'm joking. I'm senior. You see, I'm going to introduce you to my sister. Can I say hello?
Hello.
Don't wave, they won't see you because I'm going to turn the camera off. This is not a lie. So I'm now going to turn the camera off because you've waved. Say hello, wave. Doesn't really work for podcasting. Right, so turn the camera off now.
Hello.
So you don't have to look at you.
Well, you've told everybody who I am now,
that's say who you are.
Hello, I'm Rebecca, or Becky, or Bex, or Bubbles, or Oi, or Bloodfire, or every other name under the sun. I'm sure of it. Beck seems to be quite a one at the moment. I'm Jim's little sister.
And she's here today to appear on this episode. So we've done all the introductory parts now, and we've got past all that. So I still have a running order. I can't believe I've done the 11 episodes now and I still have a running order, because otherwise I'll just go on for hours. So
it's all rubbish.
What I do on this is normally I would say, who are you and how do we know each other? But considering we're siblings, I think that...
In 1986, your life got better.
And my life got worse, for fuck's sake.
When your darling little sister appeared.
And I said...
And you bullied me from day one.
Bullied is a strong word, I think, listeners. And that's not... For anyone listening, Jimmy C is not a bully. It's quite a strong word. So it's just a bit weird because I'm not used to looking next to me. I'm used to looking
at
the screen.
Just look at the screen.
Well, no, but I can't. There's nobody on the screen.
Your face away from mine.
There's a picture of me on the screen where I've muted the video so that we don't have to look at ourselves. It's just really strange.
And I'll stand here with my back to you.
No, don't do that. That's rude. But normally, I listen to other people who do podcasts who have been doing them in the same room with each other. And it's just quite natural. But because I think because for all the episodes that I've done, I've looked at a screen.
Series two.
Is an American. On podcast streaming systems, only come up with seasons.
Right, okay, so season two could be in the room with the other person.
It could be, and
then you'll get used to it, won't you?
Well, it will be, and but then I've got to buy some kit and not sit in front of Dad's computer using his microphone. Not that I'm cheap.
He doesn't mind,
but it's just...
Yeah, well, the next one will have to be with Dad, won't
it? It will be, yeah.
And then Mum.
With the old man, and then I'll have to go and buy some expensive equipment. £186 for a pair of headphones, So I was looking at some kit, because when I started doing this, I thought, I can do it by Zoom. I bought myself a set of funky headphones, which I've got here, which actually, when you plug them in, they light up round the ring. So, you know, flash.
Yeah.
I just want
to be pushing the boat out, really.
And I paid, you know, the princely sum of £45 for them. Yeah. But I did have one of these desk mics. So we're using a desk mic at the moment. But I had one of these desk mics and it was really crap. And maybe I just got a duff one.
You're such a techno fiend. You love technology.
I love technology, mate. I love technology. I've got a laptop that swings backwards like a tablet.
You've always been like it. Even when the new phone used to come out, even if you had it for 20 minutes, you wanted the next thing. Did you go and stand in line for something?
No, but I will say that I've got the new iPhone 12 Pro Max, and it's the most recent one at the moment, but when the next one comes, I'll be one in the next one. I'm on PlayStation 5, mate, but I can't afford one, and there's none out there. So.
Well, no, but do you not think... I always sit there thinking, if I can get the technology fairly soon into it coming out, but not straight away, then I'm not the one that's sitting there like alpha testing it or beta testing it to say that this is what the problem is or this is how it could go wrong or etc. I want it when it's like worked out all its kinks on version 5 and actually I can't be asked to work all that stuff out. I just want it to work. Whereas you're like, I want it now. Well, it comes out today.
Yeah.
But, you've always been like that with technology.
But the thing about the technology stuff is that I would rather long for it and not have it and think, oh, I'd really love to have that. Because sometimes when I've got some forms of technology, it's been like...
they've been an anti-climax.
It's been a shitty, crap anti-climax. And I just sit there and think...
but all that money that you waste, all that effort that you waste going to get it. I mean, when we used to work up in town, we had people, didn't we, that used to... do you remember that guy?
When we worked for John Lewis.
When we worked for... actually, no, sorry. I worked for Peter Jones, but anyway.
Same,
But there was that guy, do you remember, in Audio and Technology, who used to, like... he used to stand... in queues overnight just to get the new phone or to get the new headphones or whatever. I can't be arsed.
No.
I've got better things to do.
Oh, well, I won't go and stand in line. No, I hate queues. British people queue in lines for stuff.
You know,
I won't queue. I hate traffic. I hate queuing.
Do you know, it proper stressed me out last year when we were in Disneyland and there wasn't that many queues because of the time of year that we went February before COVID happened. And we stood in queues. Oh, well, we didn't stand in that many queues, but I was very much a case of, you know, come on, my little one in front of me, getting in the queue, making sure. And the Americans, they just push you out of the way and they don't really care. And it really stressed me out.
Not all American listeners. No, you know, but no. Those that are maybe listening. I'm trying to gain some American audience.
Okay, all right. Sorry.
But some people.
But some people that just didn't care. Whereas we in Britain are very used to standing in line.
Yeah.
And that's how we roll. And we drink tea, mind you.
She says that drinking wine.
Yeah, it's drinking been a long wine. Day.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. I'm just drinking lemonade because I've got to drive back home. I've lost where we were now.
Lost the plot.
That's brilliant. I've got my running all the right. Okay.
Go on,
so as I do questions. With all the podcasts, I just say I have some topics that we talk about, and I think one of the ones that's quite prominent for both of us that we can relate to, let's talk about theatre group, let's talk about stage door, let's talk about theatrical thespianism.
Or the fact that we used to be able to look across the room at each other and just laugh because we knew exactly what the other one was thinking.
So I'll let you talk about that. you can talk about it.
So I first went to stage door, I think I was 4, when mum first took me to jazz dancing. And it was in a place in Enfield, and it was on a Tuesday or Wednesday night, I think it was. And I had this little bright pink leotard and little black leggings, and I didn't have a clue what I was doing. And mum just went, "It'll be good for you. Off you go." And that's the first memory I have of just walking into this dance studio in, I think it was David Lloyd's in Enfield.
Yeah.
Walking in there at the age of 4, just thinking, "What the hell is going on?" I'm walking in, and then it got moved to a Saturday, and then we used to do drama as well. And I just remember packing up a massive lunch every Saturday morning. We were always late, weren't we?
Yeah.
And we used to have to be there for 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning. And or was it 10:30? I can't remember. And it used to go on till about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm. And then there was singing lessons and then there was rehearsals. And we used to get home sometimes at about 8 o'clock, just having been there for the entire day. And we used to put on shows at the Millfield Theatre. We were part of competitions in Her Majesty's and the Palladium. That's still one of my, you know when you're doing ice-breaking situations in groups and stuff or in training sessions and what have you. And they say, I was in one once and it said, tell us something that nobody else would think of. And I wrote down that I had performed on stage with Wayne Sleep at the Palladium Theatre. And everybody else thought it was this slim sort of ballet dancer, what have you,
person. He was years ago, though, back in the day.
No. Someone thought, because it was one of those things where you have to write down something and put it all into a hat and then you pick them out and the rest of the group has to guess who it was.
Yeah.
Well, they all thought I was the Liverpool fan. And I was...
What?
And I was... That's I'm rubbish. Not a Liverpool fan. But they all thought I was a Liverpool fan and they thought this tall, slim ballet dancer type framed girl was the one that had performed on stage, and it wasn't, it was me. But yeah,
I thought you were calling Wayne Sleep tall, thin ballet.
No,
dancer.
He was tiny, he was little.
He still is.
Yeah. Still alive.
Yeah, he is. Still alive. Yeah. I have to Google that. Some people will be listening to going, who's that?
Who is that?
We're getting a phone.
Wayne Sleep, famous ballet dancer. And Cheryl Baker.
That was Her Majesty's.
That was at Her Majesty's when we did the Cheryl UK Baker. Dance competition.
And she wasn't pulling a dress off. So, if you're listening...
Was that when we did Barnum?
No. Oh, yeah. So, if you're listening, and the reference to Cheryl Baker pulling her dress off, if you know what it is, you'll know what it is. If you don't, Google it.
Because it's quite funny.
Well, it was that.
But we did a dance competition. It was a UK dance competition, and we performed Barnum, which, as most of you listening might know now, as The Greatest Showman, which has now been made into a film. Best film.
But it wasn't
in a film then. It was just a stage production. And we did this dance for it and we had black and yellow. We looked like bumblebees, didn't we? We had black and yellow outfits.
Stripes, trousers and
a waistcoat and a bow tie. And I had this little thing.
Horrid memories are starting to return about things of past.
Yes. And do you remember doing Copacabana as well?
Yeah.
In bright red sequins.
Yeah.
And then we slashed it. We did two competitions at school, didn't we?
That's right.
We did Saturday Night Fever in blue sequins.
And absolutely hammered it. We won both.
No, that was one. We did blue sequins. And then the other one, we did Men in Black.
That's right.
In our suits, and we won again. Right. And so the school decided that actually they were going to stop having competitions because
they banned us.
Because the Coots just kept winning.
We got banned. There were some other ones though. There were some other people that did. So some of them did take that, which was really good.
Yeah, but I did a dance with my friends on one of them and came third, as well as coming first with you.
Oh yeah,
smashed it.
Yeah, double winning, double winning. I can't believe that you
gold medal and
Judas me for somebody else.
No, I did both and won both.
So we went to theatre group and we met lots of different people, and quite a few of those people went off and did other stuff, didn't they? So Arthur and Warren went off, and funnily enough, I was out at a dinner party. Well, it wasn't a dinner party, it was with another couple on the weekend, sort of a birthday type thing. It's my birthday. And
head drop.
Yeah, 28 plus 10. And we were talking about, they bought me a book, and it was about
Band of
it was
Brothers.
It was written by Damien Lewis, who appeared in Band of Brothers, but it was about something to do with Band of Brothers, and they were doing some. I've looked at it, but I've not read it.
Right.
Anyway, we started talking about Band of Brothers, and Arthur and Warren, who we met at the theatre group, went off. And he was an extra, and he appeared in quite a lot of scenes. Now, I love Band of Brothers, and I've watched Band of Brothers so many times.
You know exactly where he's coming from.
I do, and what's even weirder is when I do it, I then take a picture, and I'll have a Facebook, or I'll WhatsApp him.
On Facebook?
I think so, or I'll WhatsApp him and say, I've just seen you again, because it's a great series. I wish I'd gone to that audition with him, and I didn't go, otherwise I would have been it as well. And then we were at theatre group with Michelle Ryan, who played Zoe Slater.
Zoe Slater and Bionic Woman.
And she was in Doctor Who as well.
And she was in Merlin.
She was.
Yeah. Bless her.
There wasn't really anybody else, but some of them went off and did theatrical stuff, and some of them went off and got normal jobs and had kids and stuff like that.
But do you know what though? And Mum and Dad have said this to us as well, in the fact that we went to theatre school, we learned how to speak properly. We learned how to project. We learned how to act to a crowd. We learned how to... You and I have always had that ability to just rock up anywhere and just talk to anyone. I think that's probably why we're quite good at our jobs
now. Hold the room. Well, yeah. I'm all right. You hold, it's all about holding the room, isn't it? And I think that's where you learn from.
But it gives us the ability to be able to stand up and do training, which we both do. It gives us the ability to be able to talk to people about subjects that we're most of the time confident about.
Yeah.
But I think, of years of Mum and Dad paying for us to go to drama school, it's probably one of the good outcomes of it.
Yeah, and that's why my kids, as you know, the girls do theatre group,
they?
And they, obviously the three of them of different ages, they go for the stages of not enjoying it, and then they do enjoy it, but I think
we didn't enjoy it every week, did we?
No, it's all right. Until I never learned lines properly, and I was always getting told off for not learning lines.
I used to have to learn them and teach them. I could never learn lines.
However, when it came to the singing part of it, whether we were doing it, whether we were miming, because we did, we sung live.
Lip sync.
Or whether we, that's the new that's the millennial new word. or we were singing live, I always knew all the singing words, because even now, if they could put training or learning stuff into song, I'd learn it well easily. But I don't, or when I did my training for police, one of the guys who was on the training course, who's now a special chief inspector or something in the job.
Is he really?
Yeah. He read the entire manual onto a disc and was giving it out to colleagues, because I really have trouble with reading stuff. I'm better now in the last few years through the work that we do, but I really have trouble with reading. Not that I can't read, I can read, and I like reading books.
But when I
read information and stuff, it doesn't always sink in yet. If I'm sitting in the car, or I'm at home, or I'm listening to podcasts, and that's why these are brilliant. I love listening to podcasts as well as doing my own, because the information goes in, and you haven't got to read words, and you can take it in. And different people, some people don't take any information in, but if they could do learning in song, maybe that maybe that is right. Nobody take this. Anybody listening, if you take this, I know where you're going to take it from. If you do, I'll take 50% of the royalties.
Yeah. But we used to say that, didn't we? But I used to, I remember you being, what were you, Spirit of Christmas Present for a Christmas Spirit Christmas?
Kid. No.
The Christmas Carol at school, and you had so many lines to learn. It got to about 2 weeks before, and the director was like, "Bet you need to help him because he's rubbish." And I'm pretty good at learning lines, but so I had to learn them all, didn't I? And then I had to sit there and dictate them to you so that you learnt them. Whereas when it got to doing Romeo and Juliet, I had one word. So I had an entire script for one word, but there you go. I'm still in it.
I think I'm not going to open myself up to going and doing a production of it. I think something like Romeo and Juliet now, because it is, it's not "My name is Jim and I do this." It's
robotic.
Not robot, but just bulk standard lines, because it's very sort of what do they call them? They're sonnets or...
Yes, they are, dear.
Because it's sonnets and it's sort of poemy, musicy type, even though the wording is Old English Shakespearean wording, speech, it flows...
You
reckon you're able to do it, yeah. Do you know what? Even now, I don't have brain capacity. But I think... Oh, and something the other day, do you know what? I got quite excited the other day. In King's Lynn, near where I live, near here, where we're recording this, they've got an adult theatrical group.
Yeah.
And they're putting on a production of Grease. I was getting well excited. And I thought, oh, I could love to do that. And then I thought, oh, I've got the time to do it. And they've postponed it because of COVID until after the summer.
But
with airsoft and scouting and the family and stuff, I can't. I've got more time. I'd love to. And
or forgo something just for a short period then.
You
no, mind you, you're rubbish at learning lines, so don't do it.
Well, no, but that's the singing. I come in and go, I'll do any singing part, but no words.
Well, there you go, because then you know.
What's the one? My favourite film from Greece is...
Your favourite film from Greece?
No, song. My favourite song from Greece is... It's the the teen angel guy who Beauty School Dropout. I love that song. I know every single word to that, and I would love... Anybody listening, you want to do a production of Greece where I'm going to learn any lines, but I can sing... I'll come and do that role.
We were going to do that as part of stage door as well, weren't we? We were going to put that song into it. Because no, I was Frenchy, wasn't I?
Mate, yeah, you were.
And then she axed it.
And then it got axed.
Oh,
but
such a shame.
I've been waiting for the kids' theatre group that they do. I'm waiting for the adults to do a production of Greece. And I might be tempted. But they're not doing it. It's very difficult with COVID because they're not rehearsing anything at the moment. They're just trying to get the kids one out of the way, which is going to be done in a few weeks.
I can still remember. The opening to Romeo and Juliet. I can still remember the opening to, I don't know why, but I think things just stick in my brain. Just even earlier talking to mum and dad, and I said, oh, isn't there a line somewhere about that, etc., with regards to whatever it was that they were talking about. But things just stick in my brain. I can remember the opening line of, mind you, the story tape that I used to listen to, Ace by Dickens Smith.
Ace by Dickens Smith. I can read still by remember. Nigel Lambert.
Chapter one.
A pig with a mark.
But then I can still, I read my little boy. Well, he reads to me now because he can fully read books, even though he fibs and tries not to. He's seven. But he reads five minutes piece. I can read the entire book without even looking at the book.
Yep, love that book.
And what's the other one? Obadiah Jumped in the Fire. He can read that one by memory as well.
Yeah.
I say to him, come on, we need to do some reading to be able to write in your reading diary, because he wins all of the competitions at school as to how many days, how many continually reading every single day, because we just make him read because he needs to. But he always says, oh, we haven't got much time. Can we just read Obadiah? And he just stands there and pretends and reels it off.
Yeah.
And I say to him, no, you actually need to read a book. It's not from memory.
So they do, what is it? Imagine just one recently, 11 plus, not 11 plus. You have to read 11 books. 11 books, was it, by the time you're a certain age?
Yeah.
I think she has to read 11 books by the time she's 11. No.
Yeah.
Well, she has to read 100 books by the time she...
Or 111?
I don't know. Anyway, she won an award for reading a shitload of books.
Well done.
But I went, it's so funny, because she loves reading. Like, his kids are funny, and you know, Ben's hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
But my girls, they're so funny. Kids are so funny. When we're in the old house, because we just moved, as you know, moved the HQ. We're in the old house. I went upstairs one day, and she'd read through all the books that she had. She buys books for... birthday, she gets all books for birthday, she buys
a load.
She read a load of books of mine and she didn't really like them. They weren't adult ones, they were based at kids, and that's why I read them. They weren't comic books, no, they were they're not allowed to touch them. But she read all the books, and then I went upstairs and she was reading the First Aid Manual. I was so touched, because obviously that's what I don't predominantly teach it, but it's part of what the business is. But she's reading this First Aid Manual. I went, what have you learned from it? She went, well, this. I went, all right. I said, have you got your scouting badge for first aid? She said, oh, yeah, I've done that. And but when she did her scout, the next bit of the scouting badge for first aid, she just was so knowledgeable. And the kids, they're just really...
They're sponges. At this age, they are absolute sponges. The amount of information they take on. You know, Ben can dictate to me that 3 weeks ago, at 7:15 at night, I said this and promised this. And actually, if I really think hard and think back, I think... Yeah, I probably did, but he will remember it, and that is scary because I'm like you. I can't retain. I sit.
You get older, you just can't.
My husband chat. Oh, he doesn't chat at me, but he says to me that why don't you remember that? Why don't you remember doing that at school? And I say to him, if it doesn't involve the fact that I'm a mother, I'm a wife, and the job that I do, if I don't need to retain the information about what photosynthesis is, for instance, I'm not going to
Google.
I don't have the space. Exactly. And a lot of what we do at work as well is Google as well. But
Wikipedia.
But if I don't need to retain that information, then I don't. You know, if it's a case of I need to retain information, as in who's going to be where and whether I'm picking on my child up from school.
What piece of legislation is
this? Yeah, exactly. I can roughly work that one out. But actually, if I don't need to know how plant, I'm not saying I'm thick, listeners. I'm just saying that I could probably work out photosynthesis, but I couldn't tell you the off-the-cuff answers to it because I don't need to. So, and my husband thinks I'm mad because I don't know that off the cuff, whereas he's a firefighter, so, you know. He doesn't need to. No, he does. No, he worked very, very hard.
And I think that it is. You're absolutely right. You've hit the nail on the head. When it comes to
knowing
things, you don't always remember the stuff, and I don't remember stuff. And Lorna, my oldest, takes the mick out of me all the time because she says, not all the time, but she says, oh, she said to somebody, oh, Dad doesn't know about doing fractions. Mate, I don't know jack about fractions. I work in feet and inches and pounds and stone.
I think the only thing we need to work out is fire capacity, and that's about it, numbers-wise.
Some stuff around construction you've got to know about. But you've got to know about measurements. But I don't, fractions, decimal points, algebra. I didn't know algebra at school.
Yeah.
What was his name? Who was the Irish bloke with the ponytail?
Mr. McGeary.
James, I'm not being racist here for anyone listening. I'm doing an impression. James, how do you not know about algebra? It's the fundamental part of maths. I'll be like, what? No, sorry. I don't get it. I'm rubbish at maths.
I'm rubbish at maths. And this is why I always say I'm not logically minded. My husband manages the accounts because otherwise we'd have nothing. And, you know, we've been able to buy a house. But I don't get involved. I can't look at numbers and understand them. They don't make sense to me.
No.
I just do as I'm told, really. Numbers have never really been. I'm more creative.
And there's creative minds. I think it does work. If you're in a relationship where... if you were both exactly the same, then it would fail because you know exactly where the fail points of you are. So, and if the other person was exactly like you, you'd know that those are the fail points as well.
Which is why mum and dad have been married for 40 years because mum is mathematically minded. That's pretty good at maths, mind you. He added something wrong to me the other day and was adamant that it was right. We are all different and we follow, and I think we take after different
with Michaela, she's different to me, and that's where it's great because opposites attract, and if one of you knows about one thing and the other one doesn't, then
Mark can look at a sum and work out what the problem is straight away.
Yeah, Michaela's I'm shy with Matt. I'm absolutely shit with Matt. and so much so, but it is a funny one for it is. Last during lockdown. Earlier on this year or last year, I can't remember.
I don't know. Third lockdown 3.0 or something.
Yeah. I was doing homework. I think it was this year. I was doing homework or the home learning with Olivia. And it was fractions. And we worked this fraction out. And she said, when you do this fraction, you add this and that. I went, okay, so that works. And I Googled it. Because, again, I'm not going to. Michaela had gone to work. I was furloughed for the day, so I did this. I was furloughed. And Olivia said, well, if you do this, do this. And then Imogen is excellent at maths. And Lorna was very good at maths, but wasn't really interested in helping because she was doing her own schoolwork also. Imogen came and went, oh, you just do this, this, and this. I'm like, oh, okay. So we did it. I got the answer, put it on the sheet, and actually then wrote on the sheet and took a picture, because at the kids' school, you take a picture and you upload it to the teacher on the phone. It's really easy. And
I don't know, Ben was at school.
And I sent it to the teacher, but I actually wrote on the question thing, I'm really sorry, but I think this has been misprinted because this question is actually wrong. This is what the question should be. So I uploaded it. Michaela saw it and didn't say anything. And teacher saw it and commented back and go, Mr. Kew, I'm actually really sorry. This is the answer and the question sheet has been done properly. I then said, looked at it and went, what? Then said to Imogen, she went, oh yeah, Dad, you got that wrong. And then Michaela messaged on the same thing, went, oh dear. And I just sat there and went, you utter dickhead.
But
and the question was right. And the teacher is so polite. Oh, and Olivia's teacher is so polite.
Because I would have just come back and said, you're a dickhead, Mr. Two.
No, but she probably was sitting there thinking, I see maths is not your strong point, you dickhead. And she probably saw me. She saw me this morning. She probably sees me and she goes, Mr. Coots, the man, and in her brain, the man who can't do maths or add up properly and questions the questions that I give. And she's a maths, she's like really good at maths. And I just sit there and I just think, ah, well, balls, but you don't know about CDM, so.
Or, everybody has to.
Well, exactly, yeah, but I don't know about maths. Anyway, quick question. Right, so it's maths, yeah, 3 minutes is maths, 40 minutes, aren't they? So what I used to do in the old ones, I've now changed my quick fire questions now.
Oh,
so
gosh.
Anybody listening, they were getting a bit sort of
boring
standard. So bacon roll or sausage in a roll?
Sausage,
not sausage roll from Greggs with pastry.
No, sausage in a roll.
Red sauce or brown sauce?
Red.
What?
Ketchup.
Right, all right. Ketchup. Brown sauce, really?
Yeah. No, so I hate brown sauce.
I'd say bacon roll with both.
No, you would though.
Yeah, but Imogen does as
yeah
well.
But if you got offered one,
because I'm indecisive.
Yeah, but if you got offered two things, you'd say yes.
Okay, but all right, okay. So answer me this.
Riddle me this.
Right. All right. You've got two. I like a sausage in a roll, but I'll go for bacon.
Right.
But you've got two sausages in
you
a roll.
You went off bacon for a long time.
No, I went off sausages.
No, you went off bacon.
After the Lake District incident of throwing up outside the driveway. That was awful with the Cumberland sausage. That's for another time. So I went on sausages.
Oh,
I still
no,
can't I eat. Thinking. So the curled sausages.
Oh,
that you
no,
get,
I can't.
I still can't
I can't
eat
look
Cumberland
at those
sausages
without thinking about the pink sip.
And
it was just up the road in, was it Windermere? Past
when you
the,
go over
past
the hill
Lakeland.
And you go over the hill and down. Like,
anyway, yeah, moving
anyway.
On.
So
that was horrendous.
If I had two sausages in a roll, this right. Logic. I'm
okay.
I'm a logical person.
No, you're
right?
Not. You're
no. I'm not. No. Yeah, but I'm a logical person.
Okay.
So
I believe you.
Two sausages in a roll. One's brown. One's red. Okay. So first of
what,
all,
what as in brown sauce and red sauce?
Well, brown sauce ketchup. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
Brown sauce. So you've got two. Yes, I'd love to eat two, but then I think about actually I don't need two. I need one. So. Just put them together with both in it together. And then you've done it in one job and you can carry on what you're doing.
Yeah, but the ketchup ruins the flavour of... The brown sauce ruins the flavour of ketchup, which ruins the flavour of the sausages. And if you've got really nice sausages, which we've got now at the end of our road, and they do some really nice honey sausages.
Oh, how they are, too.
There we go,
sure. Yeah.
It's not like I said Waitrose, is it? But we got Nandy at the end of our road and they do nice pork and honey sausages.
Yeah.
And those in a nice crusty roll with red sauce and a bit of butter. Mate, you can't smash that. Brown sauce, I only have brown sauce in my house because otherwise my husband would divorce me.
Well, you should have brown sauce. One
no,
should
you
have
shouldn't
brown
have
sauce.
Brown sauce.
But do you have proper brown sauce? Do you have HP? Just HP or do you
HP,
have
yeah.
Like
we have HP and ketchup. We don't have shit ketchup. We don't have shit stuff.
Well, we don't have Heinz ketchup because... No, I'll tell you the reason why. Because the kids go through it like clappers. And that's, you've
to
got
be
one
fair,
child.
I've got one, you've
I've
got three.
Three.
So,
well,
yeah.
You've got Mark as well. Well, love you, Mark. But they go through it like no one's business. Well, Lorna doesn't.
Yeah, but having
season.
Said that... They
well,
go
we
through,
have HP sauce.
Yeah, but... well, okay, that's why I buy O-Brown mayonnaise, because Mark and Ben just inhale mayonnaise. Yeah. Like, there's no smart. Whereas ketchup tends to be for the odd... You've got to have ketchup in a fish finger sandwich.
Yeah, and would you... Okay, right. Normal baked beans or Heinz baked beans?
Heinz.
Yeah, I know. But that, and that again...
Or a push Branston.
No.
Yeah, but only because... I've been in situations where Heinz are not available and I ain't going own brand. So,
yeah.
But Branson okay.
They're a bit smart. There we go. Cool.
If you mix barbecue sauce with one.
True. Yeah. So a nugget of information there you or go. Wisdom I'm here that you're giving out there.
What else we got?
Okay, so we talked a bit about our family and what our families are, but we've actually got quite a unique. It's not weird.
Unique is a good word.
It's not weird.
It's not weird. It's not weird legal.
It's not weird. And I think I've spoken about this on the podcast before. I think I spoke about it in the last one actually that I did with Watson. So listen back to season one, episode 10. plug. App action. If this is the first one you've listened to, because Becky's on this and you're one of her friends, listen back to all the other ones, please, because you need to understand where we've got to and how we've got to season two, episode one of the Spill the Tea Jimmy C podcast, blah, blah. So our family is made up of my wife, Michaela.
No, it's easiest to explain. It's easiest to explain that you and I...
Our siblings, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. You and I married a brother and a sister.
Yes, but so, I married the sister, not the brother.
No, exactly.
I love Mark, but not
like that. So you and Mark were friends. Our friends.
Yeah.
You were friends first. And then I met Mark.
And I introduced you. Even though John Locke did not introduce you, it was me. Even though he takes credit for it every single time.
Okay. All right. Fine.
And I'll even go to a sort of...
To the point
though. I'll go to compromise that we both did, but he always says it was me.
But we knew John as well. Anyway, but that's another story.
Hi John. He's not listening.
He might do.
It's because you've been on it now, yeah, so he will be.
So you and Mark were friends, our friends, were friends first, and then I randomly met Mark. A few weeks later, he added me on Facebook and I messaged back and he said, oh, hi, I haven't seen you since I met you in this pub. I can't even remember the crown.
Yeah.
And I messaged back saying, I'm ever so sorry. I don't know who you are. And he said, wouldn't this be funny story to tell at our wedding? And then 3 years later, he did.
Yep.
Which was quite amusing. But then him and I have been together for about 6 months, and that's it was fine. Your birthday, wasn't it?
That's fine.
And Michaela, Mark's sister, she rang me and said, oh, what are you doing tonight? Where are you going? Can I come with you wherever you're going? I said, well, we're going out for my brother's birthday. So we went out for your birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 days later, 3 days later, you and I drove all the way down to the south of France, and I could see you in the passenger seat while I was driving texting. Your Audi, and I could see you going texting, and I looked
it was
in
dark,
a reflection in the window of Michaela came up on the top, and I thought, what's this? And then lo and behold, 3 days into our holiday in the south of France, where our parents already were, somebody comes up on Facebook, Jim Cooch is in a relationship with Michaela Bick. I thought, where the bloody hell was my telly?
Bang.
So yeah. Apparently Mark knew and went, yeah, or whatever. So lo and behold, how many years later married Michaela.
Yeah.
And Michaela became Michaela Coote, and I became Rebecca Bick.
Yeah.
And we're
I've got one set of in-laws.
No, you they've
got one set of in-laws.
Yeah. So our entire family
is quite...
It's fairly small.
And then Paul, which is Michaela and Mark's brother.
Hello, Paul and Katie.
Hello.
I've got two little girls.
And I'm sure Katie won't mind saying this. Me saying this, and Paul, tough, because you told me. He turned around and he went, oh, this was well before he met Katie. And Isn't he a lucky man now?
Isn't he a jolly lucky man?
He is a lucky man. He turned around and went, oh, have you got any other sisters, Jim? And he said, I said, why is that? He said, because maybe I could just marry one as well.
Mind you, having said that, when I explained it to Ben, who's 7, he said, well, is Katie your sister as well?
Oh, and she's your sister-in-law.
And I said, no. And he said, well, isn't that normal? However, it was quite amusing. I remember picking Lorna up from school and she must have been 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Reception or year one or something, yeah. And I went to pick her up from the door, and Michaela had already called the school and said that so I was going to come pick her up anyway. So the teacher at the door turns around and goes, so who is this Lorna? And Lorna said, well, it's Becky. And the teacher said, but who is she to you? And Lorna went, well, she's daddy's sister, but she's mummy's brother's wife. and the teacher went, no, I think you've got that wrong. And I said, no, she's got it absolutely right. But I'm just Auntie Becky. Yeah. That I've come to pick her up. Yeah. That's all it is. And the teacher just looked as though she was about to melt because she just didn't understand what the situation was.
I think the day and age that we live in now, I've not heard of it elsewhere.
What I have is our family. You know, we tracked, but Mum and I, when I was pregnant with Ben, we tracked back our family tree.
Oh, yeah.
And on Mum's side, yeah. 2 brothers married 2 sisters.
Oh, yeah.
And on Dad's side,
yeah,
a sister and a brother married a brother and sister as well. I think about 3 generations.
It does happen.
So we've just carried the family tradition.
Well, talking on the last season, I was talking to Watson, and he and his best friend married 2 sisters.
Fair enough.
Which is cool. Hi, Watson, because I know he will bloody be listening because he's an avid listener.
Hi, Watson.
Good lad. Hello, Paul. You've got to listen to it. You'll understand the Paul thing.
Okay.
But that was quite interesting to see. And that does happen. The brothers marry sisters and brothers and sisters marry sisters and brothers.
You're
confusing
yourself.
Then. I know, but I know what I mean. And it does happen, and that's, you know, that's the way things work. And I think that anybody who sits there, I'm going to be quite serious on this, anybody who sits there and goes, oh, that's weird, well, they're clearly ignorant. And if you are listening thinking that's weird, well,
it's not,
and actually you just don't understand it.
No.
And it does happen. It's just the way that the world works. So
we're all very good friends, and we all agreed a long time ago, didn't we, that you and I can moan about them too, as brother and sister, and they can moan about us.
Michaela, I don't moan about you.
No, we don't moan about you at all, darlings. But, you know, Michaela always says, oh, I'm your sister-in-law both ways round. So even if you divorce my brother, I can't get rid of you. I'm not going to divorce your brother, by the way. I love him dearly.
What I thought was nice as well is that, especially with Mark, is that we are friends, and we were friends before...
Before you joined forces.
And it was nice because I think that helps.
Because I don't know about you, but so many people hear about our situation and they go, oh, did you introduce your brother and his sister? And I'm like, no, the boys were friends first.
Yeah, exactly. Mark and I,
quite interesting.
I always say, it's really weird. I looked at it the other day, and he and I have actually been friends for probably the up end of, I would say more than 15, probably longer than that.
But Mark and I have been together longer.
But he and I were friends for before.
Yeah. But you've been married longer.
Yeah, Mark and I first met when John and I dared him to eat belly buff fluff out of my belly button for £2. Mm. And he did. And now he'd do it for nothing because he's a dirty boy. But and he did.
Oh, I don't know. It might. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
He's very serious.
So, and that's the makeup of our family. And obviously our parents and Dave.
But people do look not weirdly, but I remember a conversation you and I were sat at a wedding or a party or something, and we happened to mention Dave, and someone said, oh, who are you talking about? And we both looked at each other and went, our father-in-law, and they got very confused.
Yeah.
But you've got to explain it, and it's just one of those things. And lots of people go, oh, isn't that weird? No, it's not. It's just, you get the comment, keeping it in the family. Yeah. Don't get well, Joe. Exactly. So yeah, we just crack on.
So that's our family. The makeup of our family, and
then there's loads of kids. Mind you, Mum says, doesn't she? She's got 4 kids and 4 grandchildren, and that's just easier.
Yeah.
She thinks of all 4 of us as
yeah.
We just crack on.
So
yeah. Go on then, hit me with some questions.
Okay, quick fire. EastEnders or Coronation Street?
Neither. I don't think I watched either. I never watched Coronation Street. And EastEnders, I stopped watching when we were at Fenton Lewis.
Okay. Neighbours or Home and Away?
Neither.
Oh,
well, Neighbours, if I had to. But again, yeah, I haven't watched that for 20 years.
Yeah.
If you ask me NCIS or CSI.
Oh, NCIS.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah. CSI's right, but it's a bit.
And Love Island starts tonight.
Right, I'm going to. Don't you dare talk about that bloody programme. I'm sorry. I cannot. That is car crash TV. And I cannot watch that. However,
it's so good. However, crap.
However,
it's so good.
However, Geordie Shores or
In the Valleys.
I will watch that for Carnage T in the Valleys or the Valleys or wherever it was. Chris knows about this. Chris, if you're listening, absolutely tamping I am. And Geordie Shores, we know that it's Car Crash TV for a good laugh and a fight.
Yeah, but that's what Love Island is. You just laugh at them.
No,
me and sister-in-law Katie.
Where are all the ugly people on? Where are all the people that look like...
Yeah, but at least you haven't got to see the ugly people.
Yeah, but where are all the people that look like me? There are no, but they had a guy on the last series or the series before. He was tall, he had red hair, and he was white. He was so white. One of the series, the last one, I stupidly turned over the channel and the batteries ran out on the remote. But he was whiter than a piece of paper. Right.
Okay, fine. Moving on.
These people that go on, they're not normal people that go on.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, fools.
Yeah,
football or rugby?
Football. Oh. To watch or play?
No, to watch. I suppose with the DVU sport, you'd probably choose rugby.
Right. So in my house, it is football or die. Man United or die. Or England, which is fine.
Yeah, right, England.
However,
it's Euros, so.
I do enjoy watching rugby.
Yeah.
Mainly for the thighs.
And his mother, yeah.
And I get that from
mine. And in rugby, they smash each other up.
Yeah, so. And it's quite fun, but they're gentlemen about it.
They are.
And they don't swear. So that's that's why you can hear the ref in rugby, but you can't in football.
No, that's why.
But anyway.
Okay. Horror or comedy?
Comedy. I hate horrors. Okay. You don't like horrors,
no.
Either.
Last programme you watched?
Madam Secretary, I suppose.
Okay. Yeah, like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, watched all of them. Good.
Probably, yeah.
Especially at the end when...
don't tell people that I haven't watched it.
Oh, well, if you haven't... Right. It's like Line of Duty when I said on one of the previous podcasts. If you haven't watched the end of Line of Duty yet... Come on, that nobody goes out at the moment, or very little go there. Get on and watch Line of Duty. If you haven't watched it, but spoiler alert, they haven't found who ate
it. No, it's a bunch of shit. I'm sorry, but that was the worst episode. There was so much hype around it. I spoke to clients about it. I spoke to people about it. There was so much hype around it.
And
three of them stood in a lift and went up, and it was meant to be, what happens at the end? What a bullshit answer. I'm sorry, that was a waste of my life.
Good series,
but that was that last episode was pants.
Last film you watched?
Come back to me on that one. I can't remember.
You've not watched a film for a while then.
We watched football last night. What else did we watch? I don't know.
Favourite film of all time then?
There's no easy answers.
You mentioned The Greatest Showman.
So The Greatest Showman.
Like everyone's favourite film.
And The Sound of Music.
Yeah.
And then probably Stepmom. It's quite a good film.
Yeah,
I like that one. And also I watched some of All Fears like the other day. That was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
That was a blast from the past. I'm more of a series girl. I rewatched Friends recently.
I've got one for you.
Go on.
Just to interject. Have you ever seen Coming to America?
Yeah.
Have you seen Coming to America?
No, I need to watch that.
Well, I started watching that last night.
Is it a waste of life?
I was quite late. I need to watch it again. But
it
was
like
brilliant
that.
Because I watched the first one so many times.
Yeah, to be fair.
They do some... They do link stuff to it. I'm not giving it away, obviously.
No, don't tell me.
But it's good. No, it's on Amazon. Watch it.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those ones that I've got to wait till these on nights so that I can actually sit down and watch it.
Well, yeah
without falling asleep. Watch it on my phone.
On your tablet?
No.
Yeah, that's why I have a massive phone.
I watch on the screen. But yeah, I mean, there's so many films.
Yeah.
Different things bring up different memories and bits and pieces. And it's always nice. I love it when you scroll through Netflix and see what they've recently added and you go, oh, that's such a good film.
Well, we have like every streaming system in
our series.
So we've got Disney Plus.
Oh, no, we haven't got Disney Netflix. Plus. Can you give me your password?
No, actually? No. I've only got five accounts. And they're all taken off. Luca.
There's that new one.
Oh, they were watching that last night.
I want to watch that.
Yeah, they were watching last night.
That's all I want to watch. I don't want to watch the rest of it.
Disney Plus,
however, Marvel
Netflix,
films are pretty good.
Yeah, Disney Plus, Netflix, and Amazon. And I've got a free subscription to Apple, which I haven't activated yet, which is good. So I'll probably watch that.
You need to activate that, and we need to watch Long Way Up. Ewan McGregor and Charlie Borman driving up South America and to America electric bike.
Did you say that you watched? Yeah, somebody was. Oh. One of the guys I had on is a massive. Well, Chris is, and James Bishop is a massive, massive motorbikist.
Yeah,
motorbikist, cyclist, riders, whatever. And they
enthusiasts.
Chris talked about that one. I think not on the podcast. He talked about in conversation between he and I. Yeah, he and me about
Ewan McGregor and Charlie Borman went from London all the way around to New York the long way round. Then they did another one where they went from John O'Groats all the way down to Cape Town, which is why I now know most of the countries in Africa and where they are. And they did another one last year before, probably before the pandemic.
Yeah.
And they went from the very, very, very south of Chile. I think it was Chile. All the way up to California, and they did it on electric motorbikes.
Right, okay.
And I've been wanting to watch it, but I haven't had anybody that's got Apple to be able to watch it.
Wasn't it on Netflix?
No, it's not.
Oh.
But I first came across it. I think I won the Long Way Round book in a raffle once, and went, "What's this?" And then sat down and read it, and then found it. And now I love it. And it's one of those comfort watchings that you put in the background.
Right, yeah.
But it's absolutely, I've got them both on DVD. Absolutely incredible. But I learned a lot from it as well. I learned a lot about different things. And I've kind of got a crush on Ewan McGregor as well, to be fair.
Ewan McGregor.
But.
Or Obi-Wan. Hello there.
Obi-Wan, indeed. But yeah, that's a very, very good thing to.
I might try and watch that. I might try and watch that with Michaela.
You'd enjoy that.
We don't tend to watch some stuff together.
No, we don't.
We might try that.
We watched Game of Thrones. That took a while.
We did as well.
Gamma La Trone. We watched that for a while. And then we watched Breaking Bad, which...
I watched that on my own.
And what else did we watch? We try and find things that we can watch together, but we don't watch things too quickly. So we'll watch an episode a day or every couple of days, depending on what shift he's on or where I am, etc. But we don't watch it all the way, you know, we don't binge watch it. When we watched Breaking Bad, we were getting to the point of 3 o'clock in the morning, matchsticks keeping eyes open, going, let's just watch another episode. And actually, it was binging. It's not very good. You got to spread it out, otherwise your brain just goes...
Exactly. And then you get bored, because if you watch it too much and you binge, you watch too much, you go, bored yourself.
Mind you, somebody I know who's about 16, 17 from Beavers, she said, one of the leaders of Beavers, she said, I've just watched Friends for the first time all the way through. And I sat there thinking, I remember when that was on the telly the first time.
Yep. Remember that box set that we absolutely hammered, that VHS. VHS, not DVDs or streaming.
Tapes, anyone else would know. Do you remember when we were in the Lake District and we ran all the way back from the pub to be able to go and watch it that time with the Jenkins?
Yeah. Yeah, and the kids watch Friends,
and they
love it because it's on like
Comedy Central.
It was on something the other it's everywhere, and they love watching it and they watch it all the time. And I said, I remember when this was first on. They went, and Laura goes, how would you remember when it was the first time on? Because when you were born, it was prehistoric time. Like, yeah, right.
Thanks, kids.
Millennial.
Love you. Go then, hit me.
Right, okay. So, tea or coffee?
Mm. Depends what time of day. Tea in the coffee in the morning, tea in the afternoon.
Cool.
Or in the evening, wine. A pack of biscuits. Wine.
Wine, just in general. Yes, yes or no?
Yes.
Red, white, rosé, or
White and sparkling.
Okay.
Which I think my taste has changed because when I was younger, I used to prefer rosé. But it depends if I'm eating a steak. Quite like a red.
Red all day long. Yeah. I'm coffee, a red wine for me all day long. Cream soda or dandelion burdock?
Cream soda. Oh,
you scum.
Dandelion burdock is the most disgusting.
No, but the thing is, that's a bit of a red herring. Do you know what? Because I bloody hate both of them. They are the anybody listening.
Oh, cream soda and Papa should be burdock. Always used to have dandelion burdock.
No.
They always used to have it in the bar. Do you remember in that 5 o'clock cup?
I wouldn't drink it. Cream soda.
Cream soda.
Because normally when you go to Tesco,
cream
places,
soda,
you buy
fish and chips.
You buy the classic drinks. You buy pink lemonade, cream soda, dandelion burdock, cream soda are awful.
No,
all
see,
my
like
kids
cream
like
soda.
Cream soda,
yeah,
and Dave
sweet.
Likes dandelion burdock, so does me. I'm like,
yeah,
get away from me. That's
it must be a big thing because Mark likes dandelion
burdock. I don't like any of them, they're awful.
But cream soda's yum.
So, thank you very much. That's the end.
Is that it?
That is the end. And we've been chatting for ages.
Have we?
And just thank you very much for coming on. It's been a long time coming, mainly because when we've been talking for a while. But I'm going to keep that one in because it's true. But that's changed, and it's really good. And I, again, really excited to be doing one live in the same room when we've not done it. I've not done
it.
It
feels like
before.
We've been sat having a chat.
Well, and that's the whole idea of it, and that's the idea. So that was season two, episode one of Spill the Tea with Jimmy C podcast. And I'd just like to say a big thank you to my sibling, my sister,
your
Rebecca.
Your darling sister. Just stop calling me Rebecca.
Rebecca.
I'm stuck calling you James.
What are you doing anyway? Becky, for coming on and being on the podcast. So thank you very much.
Bubbles.
You can say thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
And thank you all for listening. Again, that has been season two, episode one.
We'll have to do another one because I'll have to tell the story about how you burnt the carpet and blamed it on me.
Anyway, thank you on that. And on that note, that's been us. Thank you. Thank you very much again.
Bye.
Good night. Bye-bye.